Chapter 53. He watched as the Crown Vic rode away from the house with the slightly overgrown lawn and empty flower boxes. He had been following Officer Simpson around from the beginning of his shift. The big oaf hadn't done anything except drive in lazy circles through the streets of Paradise. He had stopped once to use the bathroom at a bar, and another time to grab a large coffee at a diner. Police work, he thought, snickering to himself, was a great job for a dull-witted moron. It still escaped him how this dolt, of all the people in the world who had been hunting for him, happened to be the one to shoot him. Thinking about that day at the abandoned housing development made him seethe. Even now, more than a year later, he could barely contain his anger there in the driver's seat of his rental. Sure, things had gone wrong for him before that day, but never so radically wrong. The more he thought about it, the angrier he got. Nothing had seemed to go right for him since. Nothing. First, there'd been the debacle at Joe Breen's place in Boston, outsmarted by a cheap thug. Worse, he'd let a witness get away, a pretty girl at that. He'd barely escaped the cops himself. Then there was the delay in treatment, the botched surgery, the erosion of his skills. Worst of all was the hit his reputation had taken. It was all he could do not to get out of the car and murder the woman who had let that idiot Simpson into her house, whoever she was. But no, he couldn't give himself away. Not yet. Not without a proper audience. For the time being, he had them all confused and chasing their own tails around in the dark. They weren't sure whether he was in Dallas or Paradise, or saving a row of seats in hell. Maybe good fortune was finally shining its light back on him, given how things had worked out with the explosion. Talk about a stroke of good luck. He couldn't help but wonder if the police had recovered his .22, or if the man he'd hired had taken it with him into the next life. That had been the whole point of the little charade. Having his proxy shoot out the tire and deliver the envelope, letting the Keystone cops find his precious Smith & Wesson. He'd thought long and hard about finding a way to let the crime scene people discover some of his actual DNA in Trench Alley. That would seal the deal. The police would be sure he was dead, and he would be able to operate with impunity and actual invisibility. He was positive that most of the fools probably already assumed he was dead, that the body in the Sentra had been his. It was the way cops thought. Cops are as guilty of wishful thinking as anyone, maybe more so. They were a lazy breed, trained to close files, not to solve crimes. But Jesse Stone was different. He knew Stone wouldn't just accept the fact of his death without proof. Stone. He despised Stone most of all. His bad luck, his missteps, his bullet wound, his loss of status, it all came back to Stone. And it was Stone who would have to pay the biggest price. They would all pay. Some, like that wretched old mobster Gino Fish, had gotten off cheaply. That was good for him, but bad for Stone. The debt would be added to Stone's bill. But for now, he was curious about the woman in the house across the street. If that lumbering clod Simpson hadn't brought her flowers, he didn't suppose he would have given her a second thought. She was little and mousy. At least she looked that way from a distance. What was Simpson doing there with her? He wrote down the address, checked his watch, and then pulled slowly away from the curb. For now, he had to do some reconnaissance at Molly Crane's house. But he would be back later. Yes, he would be back. To see about the mousy woman in the house with the empty flower boxes.